one individual said, what a foolish thing to be talking about fasting. That sounds cultish and sounds like somebody that's trying to do something that's kind of weird and so on and so forth. It's a biblical principle. If you pick up the concordance and look up fast and fastings and fastened and so on and so forth, you'd be surprised how many times fasting shows up and how often it is connected with getting a hold of God. Now, I don't want to give you the idea that there is a prescription that if you do it, that it's an automatic thing. Fasting reveals different things to different people at different times during their fast. Fasting is done for the benefit of two things. Number one, to let your flesh know who is in control. It gets you back and gets your body back in subjection, back in control. And secondly, to reunite or to improve your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's the basis of why you do what you do. You want to get closer to the Lord. You need a specific answer to prayer about a physical malady or about a family problem or about any number of other things that may be going on. For me right now, it happens to do with things that are involving the church. But there are times when it involves different things. So you have to realize when you're looking for an answer, what's going on in your life personally may not be what's going on in other people's lives. So it's important that you know that this is a personal thing about personal issues that are going on in your personal life. And it has to do with your personal fellowship with Him. Father, we pray You'll help us this morning with these things and help us to grasp a hold of the power of this thing. And pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now when you start to fast, the Bible says that you afflict your soul. You humble your soul. You chasten your soul. It has a way of putting your body under subjection. So you always want to remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, where he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, the first thing that you want to remember is that when you start fasting, you get yourself in a position that you are in a spiritual realm. And when you get in that spiritual realm, there's going to be attacks. Sometimes the attacks happen before, sometimes during, sometimes after. Sometimes they don't happen at all. Sometimes you may go through an entire fast, and it may be a time where your senses get very, very keen as far as the spiritual sense is concerned. You begin to read the Bible and see things, and come on down here. You begin to read the Bible and see things in the Bible you didn't see before. It allows you to get focused, but it's about starving your flesh. I don't know if you realize it or not, but our flesh exercises a pretty significant amount of control over everything that we do. It wants to sleep, it wants to go to the bathroom, it wants to be fed, it wants to be washed, it wants to be coddled and taken care of. When you fast, and I'm not talking about just from food, it's easy to occupy your mind with other things when you're fasting. I mentioned that the other day. It's about killing off your five senses. Now, it's hard when you're at work. You've got to work too, see? It'd be great if you could fast and go into a room by yourself and so on and so forth, or go up on a mountaintop. That's just not possible. So what happens is you have to work and you have to continue to go through that. In Matthew chapter number 6, he says that when you fast, that you go ahead and you get ready and you anoint your head with oil, meaning you comb your hair and you brush your teeth and you shave and all that, so that nobody knows there's anything going on but you and the Lord. But then when you come home, you have a tendency to get into a pattern. Yes or no? So you come home, and as soon as you walk in the door, your wife's cooking dinner, and then maybe you go grab a shower and change, put on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt or your flip-flops or whatever. You do a little finagling around the house. You collapse in the easy chair, and pop, on comes the evening news just to kind of catch up, you know. And next thing you know, you're sitting down, and dinner's, you know, being served in front of the box there, and you're watching that and so on and so forth. And then you're thinking, well, okay, I'm not supposed to have dinner. Okay, good. But now what are you going to do with your time? See? Well, if I'd use my time, because now I'm getting hungry by the end of the day, to occupy it with something that's on that box, then what have you done? I mean, if you don't want to see revival in your soul, just keep turning on the box.
Now, I'm not going to, you know, give you a big whole deal on that box. Some people have used that thing for years to think that if they don't have one, they're spiritual. That doesn't make you spiritual at all. The ability to control the thing is what shows spirituality. I don't care if you got it or you don't have it. But I can tell you this, if you want to get a hold of God, you ain't going to get a hold of Him while you're watching the box. Everybody that doesn't have it, they run around and think that they got one thing right in their life, but they refuse to repent of that proud, arrogant, obnoxious spirit that they have. You know, well, I don't have a television set, you know. Okay, well, you need a cotton-picking brace for your mouth is what you need. That'd do you more good. Amen. Do you more good than what you're doing with your peepers. But now listen to me. You got to realize it's about starving your flesh, making that flesh uncomfortable. Okay, so you've got to cut off not just what you're putting in your mouth. And what it'll do is, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. What it'll do is it'll keep your body under subjection. You have dietary problems and stuff where food controls you? You think food doesn't control you? Buddy, I'll guarantee you. Feet hit the floor and the first thing that goes on in 90% of the household, coffee pot or teapot. Amen. Right? I mean, you know, I'm not taking your coffee away from you now, but I'm saying when you fast, you get up in the morning and it's like, I'm going to go, well, now listen now, I could go on a long fast if I bumped caffeine all the time and just stayed just wired all the time. I could not even think about eating because I'm wired. I mean, I could go take a whole handful of speed or caffeine pills or something and not want to eat, but now what's that doing to my body? It's not making my body think anything except I must be full because I'm speeding wide open. You see what I'm saying? It's about afflicting the flesh. It's about telling the flesh who's in control. It's not using artificial means. Now, here's the problem. If you're a caffeine addict and you've been on a lot of caffeine and the first time you get ready to push away from that thing, buddy, watch out. Here comes the nausea and the headache. It's a physiological thing that takes place. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you. You are going to have, and some people called me and said, Preacher, I know I'm not supposed to mention this, and can we just keep this between me and you, but I've never done this before, but man, as soon as I started, within about 5 or 6 hours, I have got a screaming headache, and I feel like I am going to throw up. I said, do you have a tendency to drink a lot of coffee, Cokes, caffeine, sugar, or something? Pretty much all day. I said, okay. A couple of things, you better go slow. Second thing, you better start drinking a lot of water. Now, it's not about incapacitating yourself. The first time you do this thing, I suggest to you, try 12 hours. Try 12 hours, not 8 of those while you're sleeping. Well, preacher, I slept for 10 hours. I only got 2 hours to go. Now, I'm not talking about that. I say the first thing you do, listen, God understands. You don't have to jump out there like this one guy. He decided, I'm going to do 40 days. You know, he never done it a day in his life. And his body had all kind of junk in it and all kind of impurities. And all he's doing is drinking water. And the next thing you know, he breaks out and junk all over. He's got all kind of mess coming out of his skin. I mean, he is throwing up, screeching headache, man. His breath is blistered a paint off a wall at 150 yards. I mean, just... he's having all kind of problems. He finally goes to the doctor. His wife said, something's wrong with you. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm fasting. He said, well, that's good, but how long have you been doing it? He said, well, I've been doing it about six or seven days now. I'm going to go further. He said, you ain't better not go further. Number one, you got to take some medicine. And number two, you better start eating something because you are in danger of getting yourself in the hospital. God's not interested in that foolishness. Start with something small, 12 hours. Start with, you know, giving up something that's near and dear to you. Amen. Try that. Amen. Try when you start your fast, try passing up a meal and do it with juices and turning off the box and turning off the radio and spend the time. It's a conditioning thing. It's not, well, I'm so spiritual, I'm just not. You know what will happen? You'll get discouraged and then the next thing you know, you'll never want to do it. You'll miss out on the blessings of it. Now, there's some good health benefits to it, and I'm not going to give you all that because that's not the reason that you do it. But I'm trying to help you because these are the questions I got. And what an encouragement to a pastor that he preaches Wednesday and Thursday morning, the text, the email, and the telephone is coming off the wall with people going, "Preacher, I want to do this, and preacher, I want to do that, and preacher, I'd like to do that, and preacher, I, and preacher, can you have, and preacher, I'm having this problem, preacher, I'm having that, and preacher, I'm thinking, man, glory to God, boy, this is a blessing." So the questions are good questions, but sometimes I apologize, but sometimes I didn't realize that some people try to do more than they're ready to do. Start with 12 hours. You do 12 hours 1 week or something and go a couple of weeks, and then you might try 24 hours. And then after you try 24 hours, you let the Lord lead you as to how long you need to go. Now watch, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. You say, "Preacher, what day should I fast on?" Well, in Judges, they fasted all day till evening. From the time they got up, they didn't eat their morning meal, they didn't eat their evening meal, and in the evening time, they came together at the church house. Now, this was, of course, for them on the Sabbath day, which would have been a Saturday. And they came that evening, they were still fasting, and after the meeting was over, they allowed themselves to eat. So you can fast on a Sunday. It doesn't matter if you want to fast on a Sunday. You just knock off the restaurant in the afternoon. Now, it might be easier for some of you to do that on a Sunday simply because you're not involved in work and so on and so forth. You may be more focused on the Word of God and those kind of things. If that's easy for you, you say, "Look, honey, I'm just going to knock off breakfast and lunch this morning. We'll eat after church tonight." You can try that. Just see how that works for you. Why is the reason for it? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 24. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man, personal, that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." It's about regaining control. Watch. "Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore," Paul talking, "so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." I want it to count. I want it to matter. I want it to make a difference. "But," he says, "I," watch it, "keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, the preacher ought to be an example to other people, and a Christian ought to be an example to other people about being temperate in all things. Every time you get on this kind of stuff, and every time you talk about it, somebody says, "You know, how come he has to talk about fat people?" I'm not talking about fat people, I'm talking about fasting. I have a problem with food just like anybody else does. And I have an affinity. I like cinnamon rolls. I love cinnamon rolls. I lust for cinnamon rolls. I covet cinnamon rolls. I'm not talking about these little old pixie doodle things. I'm talking about those kind of like at Panera's that are as big as your head. Glory, man. The only problem is they can stuff them with cream cheese and everything else, but a cinnamon roll ain't a cinnamon roll until you put some butter on top of it, on top of all the other stuff. Amen. I mean, and hot and soft, ready to go. But I'll eat it cold and hard. It don't matter to me. I got an affinity for that. Now, if I'm not careful, what'll happen is I'll sit down and that stuff will have an impact on me and I'll be in trouble. I have another affinity. If my wife buys ice cream, it will not last in my house. You say, "Well, preacher, you ought to be more disciplined." I know. I'm disciplined enough to know that if it's in there, I'm disciplined enough to get up and go get it. Amen. She's not going to get my ice cream. You say, "Why? She give me a couple little scoops, you know, and all that." Uh-uh. You take a half a gallon of ice cream, and I don't get no cheap junk, man. If I'm going to get ice cream, I'm going to get Haagen-Dazs or Breyers, high fat content, man. I mean real ice cream, bluebells, that good stuff, right? And you take a half a gallon, and then you cut the brick in half, that's one serving. Amen. And then you grab the bottle, you say, "Preacher, all things in moderation." You see, that's why I can't have it there, because I see that ice cream, and every time I walk by the freezer, it says, "Help me. Help me! Help me! I'm freezing in here!" And I open the door. "Oh, here, let me help you. Get me out of this box." And I put it in there, and then you get you a big old bottle of Magic Shell, and you got to use at least a half a bottle in order to get a complete covering. And then you get just a little bit of milk, and just a little, just a splash or two of milk on there, and it makes it nice and icy. And then you go grab you just a handful of pecans or walnuts and kind of put that on there. And if and you've got to make it healthy. If you got any fresh fruit, you can put a little of that on there or banana or something. And then you sit down and say, glory to God and bless this until I puke. Amen. Now, what I'm telling you is that I have an affinity with food just like anybody else. I like food. So don't make it something spiritual when you walk in my house and, you know, there's not a gallon of ice cream in the refrigerator. You say, why? I can't stand the pressure. I should be able to put it away, especially after what I've been through. But I can't, so I can't get it. So don't walk out of here and say, well, preacher, you just don't understand me. Oh, no, buddy. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with cigarettes. I don't have a problem with chewing tobacco. I don't have a problem with that. But, buddy, I got a problem when it comes to food. Now, this Jaybird right here, he can walk by food all the time. He can go by a smorgasbord, a buffet. He can eat until it's coming out of his cotton-picking ears and not gain an ounce, you know. I walked by at Panera's yesterday. We had to do some running around, and I walked by and I smelled them cinnamon rolls, man, and I just immediately started going, and I'm walking like this. My wife says, what's the matter? I said, I gained 10 pounds thinking about those things. Some people don't have a problem with food. I do. I like good food. I'm talking good quality food. I like fried chicken. Amen. Black-eyed peas, cornbread with some onions. But see, cornbread, it gets you every time. You can't just eat cornbread. You got to have cornbread and then slice it and slather it with butter. And then you got to have honey all over that butter. And I'm getting there, sister. And you got to have that. And then you get a little pea juice on there. And you get that on there and get you a couple tomatoes and some onions. And boy, you're fixed now. You're ready to roll. You say, well, what's your problem? My problem's food. My problem's my mouth. And my body wants all the things. I don't have that problem at all with broccoli and cauliflower. I can eat broccoli. I like broccoli. But you don't ever see me getting, honey, I just want a big old bowl of broccoli tonight, you know. Man. Maybe occasionally a bowl of some pinto beans over some rice with some onions and some relish. But see, then that cornbread's got to, or it ain't the same. How am I doing? Somebody help me this morning. All right, now here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Fasting cuts off that appetite, but it also cuts off the appetite of your peepers. And it cuts off the appetite of the things you hear with and the things that you touch. And so it's not just a matter of occupying your time while you're dieting. It's not about a diet. It's about focusing yourself on something more important than feeding yourself. Job says, I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. And it's about getting it back in place. And Paul says that you've got to keep the body under subjection. And one of the things that will help you do that is if you learn to discipline yourself to get through that fast, you'll realize, you know what, I can walk by that place and not get one of those things that I wanted so bad yesterday. All right, now come to 1 Samuel chapter number 31. That's all through the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 31. In Judges chapter number 20, it was a day fast. In 1 Samuel chapter number 31, it's 7 days. Now, the Lord fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah fasted 40 days and 40 nights. They have that in common. I wouldn't suggest you try that. Those two boys that did do it were in the presence of God, and Jesus Christ was God. So you want to be, don't be stupid. You say, well, I can just fast and fast and fast and fast. You can do some serious damage to your system. That's not the purpose of doing this. All right, in 1 Samuel chapter number 31, verse number 13, the Bible says, and they took their bones and buried them under the tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So keep on coming over to the book of Ezra. So sometimes the fast is 1 day, sometimes the fast is 3 days, sometimes the fast is 7 days. In Acts chapter 27, it's 14 days.
But you don't need to worry about that. All you need to worry about is listen, God, I got a particular issue and I'd like an answer. God, I want to walk closer with you. God, I want to talk more with you. God, I want to have greater fellowship with you. God, I want to see you do something in somebody else's life. God, I want to see you fill up the building. God, I want to see you, whatever it might be, to show God, Lord, I'm serious. It's not a time to be smorgasbord. It's a specific deal. It's not a time to just get up there and, you know, just start blasting away of all the things that are going on. And you know what? If you get desperate enough, what you're showing the Lord is Lord, I'm so desperate about what's going on in my life, I'm willing to push away from the table and get on my hands and face before you and say, please do something for me. Now, I've seen it work. I mean, I know, I'm telling you, I've seen God do absolutely amazing things. When God looks down and sees you doing that, He's like, well, yeah, you must be pretty serious about that. I mean, you know, most time we're not really serious. Think about it. A lot of times you have problems and difficulties and stuff, and now probably you don't even remember what those problems and difficulties and stuff were. Because it really wasn't that big a deal. All right, look at this thing in Ezra chapter number 8. Ezra chapter number 8 and verse number 23. Our prayers are kind of flighty, aren't they? I mean, really, they're kind of, you know, Lord, you know, bless the service. If you appreciate it, thank you. Well, is it any wonder that the pulpit's not blessed? Because it's kind of like, oh, yeah, Lord, and by the way, help the preacher out. Oh, and Lord, you know, send a blessing our way. Yeah, I'm pretty sure appreciate it. Right? 8:23. The Bible says, so we fasted and not notice and besought our God for this, and He was entreated. Look in verse number 22. Come on down about halfway. If you got an old Scofield, you'll see a reference there. He says, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and wrath is against all of them that forsake Him. So, we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated. Now what He's saying there of us, in other words, He listened to what we have to say because we wanted to make sure we were on the right side of God and we needed an answer to our prayer. Psalm 35. Now, I want you to understand that the main reason for fasting is not for a physical cleansing. It's not for trying to do something for your health reasons. The main reason for fasting is Lord, I want to get a hold of You. I want to have a conversation with You. I want You to entreat me to allow me in. Now, we're allowed into the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I understand that. But nevertheless, there's not a person in here who hasn't prayed at times and felt like the ceilings were brass. You couldn't get your prayers anyway, and you've confessed every sin you know to confess, and you're as right as you know to be, and you're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, and you're praying, and you're studying, and you're doing everything that you know you ought to be doing. You're not doing anything wicked and ungodly, and when you do, you confess it, and you get it right, and yet you pray, and nothing happens. And that's an opportunity where God says, well, let me ask you a question. Is an answer to that prayer really that important to you? Well, yeah, Lord, it is. Okay, well, then show me. It's going to cost you something. You willing to let it cost you something? You say, well, God's not a taker, He's a giver. He's not taking anything if I'm giving it to Him. I'm going to preach a little bit about this in the morning service, but ladies and gentlemen, it's not about submission. You miss it there. You can submit with an unwilling heart. You can submit because you've been overpowered. You can submit because you feel guilty or because you're scared to death. It's not about submission. It's about surrender. The reason that the yoke is heavy on some of you is because you're just submitting. The yoke's not heavy to somebody that has surrendered to the yoke. And so the problem is that we have submitted in most cases, but very few have totally surrendered. Lord, listen, not my will, but Thine be done. Lay it on me. You do whatever you think you know better than I do. That's the hard thing. So God says, listen, I'm not going to take that from you. I'm not going to rob you. I'm not going to steal from you. But if you'd like to put it on the table and offer it, then okay, fine. See, you see how that just kind of grinds a little bit? You're missing out. It belongs to God anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how bad do you want an answer? Well, not that bad. Okay, no problem.
A fellow told me one time, he said, well, if you don't, you know, if you don't do this, you don't do that, then God will, you know, he might kill your kid and he might do that. Oh, come on, man. Cut it out. Cut it out. Now you got somebody going, okay, all right, God, just don't kill my kid. Okay, God, whatever. Just don't kill my family. Okay, God, just don't break the bank. Okay, God, you got my, no, that's not God. Listen, if God wants to do that, he can get your attention if he wants, amen? I mean, you ever been through a spanking machine? He can get your attention. But that's after you, like my little niece, you know, when she was little, she'd reach out there, you know, and she'd go to touch the plant that was on the table. And my mama said to my sister, said, well, just take the plant off the table. And my sister said, no, she's going to learn not to touch it. So she'd reach out there and pow, she'd get that hand popped, you know, and she'd pull it away like that. And then she'd look around a minute and look right dead at her and go, pow! And then she'd go to screaming and squalling, of course, then the grandma, well, you know, you could take that out of the way. No, she's going to learn not to touch what I tell her not to touch. Now, God's going to can do that to you, but he'd rather not. Don't touch that. Okay. Not. Okay, why? That's what got Eve in trouble. So folks, what you want to understand is that God gives you certain opportunities to go over and above and to give Him an offering, not just a requirement. It's not just to do with your wallet, it's to do with what you can do. And what I'm talking about, everybody can do. And the reason this church is still here today is because people have prayed and fasted for years for this pulpit and for you people. Psalms chapter number 35, look in verse number 13. Psalm 35, verse number 13. Bible says, or this is David talking, and he says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Now, what happened here is, as David said, it caused me to get humbled. It humbled my soul on the behalf of other people. Come over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. David practiced it, and the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. Jesus Christ practiced it. The Apostle Paul says in prayer and fastings often, the Bible says Paul's our pattern. Yes or no? The Bible says that with Paul, we follow Paul as he follows Christ. Yes or no? Paul says in prayers and fastings often. The apostles all did it, but the Apostle Paul did it. Well, how come it's not practiced in the church? Because we are controlled by food. Amen. I'll tell you this. This is a bad thing to say, but I know I'm telling the truth. If we preached as hard on food as we do on liquor and cigarettes and clothes and everything else, you wouldn't have a nation in the condition it's in. You have the most obese nation on the face of this earth. You know what? They're now making, it's a market now. They fattened you up, and now they're going to tell you how to get slim. Right? They got new, this and do this and guarantee you how to lose 20 pounds in 20 days and all that kind of stuff. You can sew your mouth shut and you ain't going to lose 20 pounds in 20 days. I mean, come on, man. You got to be kidding me. What a ridiculous thing. And a woman looks in the mirror and she says, oh, look at me. Look how I look. You know, I got to lose. You're always consumed. I got to lose weight. I need to lose weight. You know what you're focusing on? Food. How am I doing? Some of you are mad at me already. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. A lot of passages in the Bible on gluttony. You say, why? Well, you can get drunk on food. I have an addiction. I confess to you. You say, what's the addiction? F-O-O-D. Every time I get around that old man over there, he'll sit down and he'll start to eat and he'll say, he'll stand up, TK. He'll stand up and he'll say, okay, just checking. And I'll say, well, what was that for? He said, you getting, I just want to make sure you don't get no preacher's profile. He's got to be an example to the brethren, brother. You know, I'm thinking, well, you got to say stuff like that. So then we go sit down, man, and I mean, he puts on the feed bag, man. I mean, he eats, boy, and he eats and he eats and he eats and he eats. And then we get done and I say, you know, we do what we got to do. And then it comes time to end. I said, you want to stop by and get something? He said, no, brother. He said, I ate all I'm going to eat today. I ate that one meal and that's enough to sustain me. I overdid it then, so I got to cut back on a couple other meals. He does it on a daily basis. If he gets him three or four squares or snacks or in between, he'll graze along the way and so on and so forth. Fine. But if he overcooks the recipe, you know what he does? He only eats one meal a day. And you say, why does he do stuff like that? I don't know. Why is he 87 years old? Because you know what he told me? I am not going to let that stuff control me. You don't have to eat three times a day. The government told you three meals a day. And they feed you what they feed cows, the fattened cows. Corn. That's what they give cows and hogs so you can fatten them up. Now, I think you ought to do your job to preserve the planet. Eat all the cows you can. But in moderation. Amen? That was free. We're talking about fasting. But that's the problem, see? No preacher wants to get up and tell you, you know, oh, I'm all perfect and I'm this and that and the other. No, sir, buddy, I fight that thing and I fight it daily. I mean, I fight it every day. I thank God for a wife that don't put stuff in the cabinet that she knows I'll now. She'll put, you know, the right kind of fruit and nuts and things like that. The only nut in my house is not just the one that sits in the easy chair. She puts that kind of stuff in there because she knows when I get hungry, I want something, but at least it'll be the right stuff. I thank God that, because if cookies were there and cakes were there and that kind of stuff, I'd go for that. Say what? It tastes good. Now, I don't mean I never eat a dessert. It just means that if I go get it someplace, I can't have it the rest of the week. Now, if you can't help yourself, glory to God, praise the Lord, help yourself. I'm just confessing to you, openly, publicly, I got an addiction. And I think the addiction to food is just as bad as an addiction to alcohol, is just as bad as an addiction to cigarettes or anything else, only nobody else says nothing about it.
Right.
So I want to pound the guy that, you know, smokes on cigarettes. Well, hey, how about the guy that's pounding you is 50 pounds overweight, you know, so shut your mouth. Amen. You got no right to talk about that stuff. You're out of control too. You're caught in picking glutton. The Bible says put a knife to your throat and cut your throat so you can shut off the thing that's feeding your stomach. Your God is your belly. That's Paul. Me. It's all about me. That's what food says. Me. I want the best. I want the most. I want this. And then here comes old barrel chested, you know, best God, you ought to put up them cigarettes. Best God, you ought to put away that television. Best God, you ought to put away. Why don't you shut your fat mouth and put away the food? Amen. I don't mean to make you uncomfortable now. I'm just... And what's strange about this, a doctor can get on TV and say what I'm saying to you, and you know what? You're like, he cares. And a preacher gets up here and says, and listen, just because you're skinny, it don't mean because you're spiritual. It means because God blessed you with a metabolism that happens to metabolize food, and the rest of us have to fight it from the day we're born to the day we die.
Right.
If I leave that stuff around, buddy, I blow up to 250 pounds overnight. I mean overnight, man, like that. Did I give you Psalms yet? 68, 69? All right, 69:10. We didn't read it yet, did we? Psalm 69:10, the Bible says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. The Bible says here that it chastens your soul, that it does something to try to get you under control. Acts chapter number 14, it has a deeper impact than just your flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and you may find this to be true or not. This is just personal things. When it comes to this, Acts 14, you'll find the first day or the first time very difficult. You'll find your mind is consumed with, when can I eat? 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 You'll find time slows down. I mean, you'll find it's like all of a sudden every second takes four to pass. It's like, you're kidding me. It's only been 15 minutes. And especially toward the end of whenever you think you're going to break it, you're thinking, come on. And by the way, when you break it, don't sit down and have a giant steak. Your system has been shut down and dumping all this junk out, and then you throw a steak in there, it's like, whoa, hang on here just a second, man. Anyway, that's a whole other deal. But Here's what you got to realize. The first time, after the first day or so, it'll ease up a little. Second and third days, not as bad. Fourth day, all of a sudden, but you'll find that things narrow itself down. Now, I'm not saying that to boast or brag. I'm just trying to help you to understand what to expect when you do it. The first day is going to eat you alive. You say, why? You're breaking a habit. You really don't realize how much you are controlled by any time your body says, I want something. You go to the vending machine, you go to the refrigerator, you go to the cupboard. Every one of us have got food everywhere. Most people got food stuffed in their cotton picking car. I mean, when you get hungry, you eat, right? You don't even think nothing about it. You know, well, it's not a sin. I'm pretty sure what's the problem. You know, you get hungry, you go grab something. And all of a sudden, you stop that midstream. Your body's like, hey, let's go get something. And it's breaking a habit. It's like, you can't go get something. You're fasting. Boy, it'll lead to prayer, I'll guarantee you. The first part of that prayer would be, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I'm starving to death. You're not starving to death. Amen. You get to thinking about them people in Auschwitz, boy. Whoo, man. You're not starving to death, but you think you are. You ever come home and tell your wife, I'm starving. Maybe a little overstated, just a little, maybe. Just a smidgen, right? Unless it's been 5 or 6 days. All right, Acts chapter number 14. The example of that I meant to give you is this. Good thing I had a note. The example I meant to give you is Esau. Esau's only been gone 24 hours, less than 24 hours, and he's been out hunting. And the deer didn't cross his trail and so on and so forth, and he comes back in, and he's famished, and here's Jacob, and he's over here stirring this big pot of beans. And Esau says, give me some of that or I'm going to die. And Jacob said, what do you get me for it? He said, I don't care what you want, you can have. It makes no difference to me. I just want something for my belly. And he says, okay, here. And he trades off the spiritual for the physical. And you know what happens later on after Esau realizes what he did because he despised his birthright and so on and so forth. Later on, the Bible says Esau sought repentance carefully with tears and could find no place for it. You see, what comes in is, you know, I'm starving. Well, here's you some beans. Well, I ain't that hungry. I'm not going to give you my birthright for that. But that first 24 hours, boy, you think I'm going to die. You say, why? You're not in the habit of doing that. You're not used to that. You go on a couple of mission trips, you get used to it. You go over there and they give you a cup of rice with a raw egg on it. I'll feed that to the duck. You know, and then for dinner they got these little tiny shrimps about maybe the size of your thumb, about what we would call a popcorn shrimp. Only difference is their popcorn shrimp, they leave the head and the guts and everything else in it and that black vein down the middle of it. And they serve that in rice with some kind of squished out worm. Worm, like earthworm, but it's not earthworm. I'm really not that hungry. But we say we're hungry because we can find something we like. When you're hungry, you eat what's there. So the fellow over there, he says to me, ask you a question. I said, what? You ever eat the rat? I said, eat no rats, man. What's wrong with you? You don't eat a rat. You're crazy. And then I, you know, get all over him about eating rats and this and that and the other. And he stops. He kind of looks down a minute. He says, oh, so you have never been hungry before. I never forgot that. I guess I would eat a rat if I was hungry. I guess I'd eat a bug if I was hungry. So I'd never eat that. Never been hungry. See, our idea of hungry is I'm not getting what I want. Fasting says, you ain't going to get what you want anymore. You're going to get what God says when the time comes. Amen? My mama never had this idea, what do you want for dinner? Maybe yours did. We didn't have, it wasn't like, well, you want to, oh, well, Melody, what do you want? I want McDonald's. Okay, stop there. Oh, I want Burger King. Oh, I want a fish sandwich from Papa John. No, what's that thing? Some kind of, I don't. Long John Silver. It had a John in there somewhere. One you need to throw up in after you eat there, I guess. But anyway. And then she'd stop and give everybody what they want to eat and that kind of stuff. Now, if anybody got what they wanted to eat, it'd be my dad. But, well, just kids, you never got that. Put the plate down there. Eat it. I don't want Brussels sprouts. You're going to eat them. Say what? You're going to sit there till you eat them. I don't like them. Too bad. Tough apples. You're going to eat them. Get up. Got the dishes done. Everything else. Who's still sitting there? Me. That's how I learned to hate avocados. You're going to eat the avocado. I don't like avocado. Too bad. You're going to eat it. Sat there, put ketchup on it, mustard on it, mayonnaise on it, salt, pepper, pickles. I did everything I could to try to get it. I'd have been better off just to cut it in small bites and swallow it whole, but I couldn't get I gag every time I'd, you know, and my daddy'd be like, if you throw it up, you're going to eat that. Say, oh, what a horrible thing. No. I was putting on, you know. He's like, hey, you puke, man, go ahead, but you're going to eat it, boy. You see, the problem is that nowadays it's all about what I want when I want it. That's what fasting's about, to say, hey, man, you are not running my cotton-picking life. Amen. You'll eat what I tell you to eat.
Right.
I'm starving. Okay, good, here's some broccoli. Well, I'm not really that hungry. See? Here's some salad. No, thank you. Here's some green stuff. Help me. Right? You're not starving. You're starving for what you want.
Amen.
See? You're out of control. Would you say amen to that or owe me one?
Yep.
You're out of control. Acts chapter number 14, verse number 23. This has to do with prayer and fasting. Fasting must always be coupled with prayer because you're in a spiritual realm, and without it you'll lose your protection. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, notice, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In other words, when it comes to certain things, as far as taking care of, like, for instance, the preacher or people that are doing service at the church, your Sunday school teachers, people that sing in the choir and so on and so forth, you know what he says? You commend them to the Lord with prayer and fasting. All right, let me just give you another one, Luke chapter number 2. I'm trying to hurry here. Luke chapter 2. Is it helping you at all? Or there's a tremendous benefit to it, but it ain't easy to do. If it was easy to do, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy to do, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. Really. Now, let me just put this in here real quick. If you've got a medical condition, don't be stupid. You can't do it. If you got pills you got to take with food, don't be stupid. You understand? Some of you have problems and you can't help the condition that you're in. Don't be, you know, well, I'm gonna do it anyway, no matter what. Don't wind up in the hospital in Jesus' name. Amen. That's not using your head. You got to use your head when it comes to this kind of stuff. But if you can do it, then do it. If you can't, there's other things you can do. You say, how can you do a fast without food? I'll tell you how. Shut off the box. That'd be good for that's an appetite. For worldly things, bless you twice. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't. I gotta have food, preacher. I have to take medication. I have physical maladies. I have problems. If I don't take it, so on and so forth. Okay, no problem. Why don't we just shut the box off?
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't we put the newspaper and the magazine down and pick up the book?
Amen.
See, there's ways to do it. It has to do with those five senses. How about I'm not gonna go do what I was planning to do today for fun. I'm gonna sit home and read and study and pray. There's ways to fast. All right? It's something that you can do. You don't have to, this idea that it always has to involve food, it doesn't have to. But it's good when it does. Acts 2. Old verse 37. Acts 2:37. What did I say? Luke. Why are y'all saying Luke? I said Luke. Did I say it? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm looking at Luke and I'm saying Acts, okay? Luke. Sorry, now my ears are burning. I'm embarrassed, I'm sorry. Look at verse number 37. And the Bible says, and she was a widow about fourscore, talking about Anna, about fourscore and 4 years. Okay, so she's about fourscore and 4 years. She's 83, 84 years of age. Which departed not from the temple, watch, but served God. Look at that. With visitation. Huh?
Nope.
With tithes and offerings.
Nope.
Preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching. Singing. How'd she serve God? Fasting and prayers day and night. Night and day. Hey, preacher, I want to serve the Lord. I can't do what I used to could do. Can you fast and pray? That's an elderly woman there. She's 83 years of age. You know what she did? She was, first of all, faithful. See her? She's in the church. She's in a temple. You know what she's doing? She's fasting and praying. That's all. Say, well, who is she? She's one of the pillars of the church. That's who she is. Because of her, she's holding up the preacher's hands and holding up the church hands and doing all that other. She's hooked up with God. She's the wire that's in the wall that's getting the power that where it needs to be. Brother Zico, should you let them people in, please, back there? Just tell them all to come in. I want to finish this thing up so I can tell them all to just come on in. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Can you all bear with me for just a second? I won't be preaching more than a couple of hours this morning, so it's no big deal. You can afford the time. Now here's the Apostle Paul. And boy, this is a ministry and a half right here. Here's the Apostle Paul. He says, verse number 1, when then as workers together with him beseech you also that we receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse number 3, notice he says, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God. And watch, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings. Look at there. Do you see what fasting is in with? Look at all the trouble that he puts fasting in with. So I don't want to give you the impression or the idea that it's some this easy, happy-go-lucky, no big deal type of a thing. Paul puts it up there, but he says all of those sufferings that are taking place, he puts fasting in there as if equating an individual that's willing to fast is suffering the same thing that he suffered in the ministry. So it has a huge significance. It'll increase your fellowship with the Lord. It'll show your body who is in control. It'll be a sweet-smelling sacrifice and a savor unto the Lord. And it's for the purpose of getting a hold of God. I'll say this lastly. When you do it, you do it as discreetly as you possibly can. And we're appreciative of that. It's not supposed to be some spiritual mountaintop. It's supposed to be a personal thing. It's not to be shared with other people in the sense of telling other people, you know, oh, well, I can't, I'm fasting. You know, well, but you have questions about it, you have comments about it, and you have later on testimonies about it. It's okay to share that with other people and encourage other people with those things. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, I hope that'll at least maybe help you or answer some of your questions about that thing, and maybe it won't be so difficult for you. Father, we pray that you'll bless your word this morning and pray you'll bless the upcoming service in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.